cave, but the others refused to surrender. After he suggested a mass suicide by pairing off and killing each other, a technique later used at Masada, the others killed each other off until he and the one other survivor surrendered to the Romans. The Romans who were besieging them were led by Vespasian and Titus. Due to his education and experience with diplomacy, Josephus became a valuable slave to Vespasian. After he was released in 69, thanks to a revelation he had claimed to have, that Vespasian would become emperor at the end of the year of the four emperors, he was sent to negotiate with the defenders at the siege of Jerusalem. Therefore, he was a direct eyewitness to the fall and sack of Jerusalem. As part of his revelation, Josephus also became convinced that God was angry with the Jews and was using the Romans as his instrument, a belief later attributed to Titus and Vespasian as well. After the fall of Jerusalem, Josephus continued to serve Titus as a freedman, becoming a client of his patrons, the Flavians. This is where he earned his later name, Flavius Josephus. In the process, he also received Roman citizenship, a pension, and property in Judea. Josephus's wife having died in the siege, he was offered a new wife by Vespasian from among the Jewish captives, but she left him. Shortly after, he married a third time to an Alexandrian. Though they had three children, he later divorced her and married a fourth time, this time to a Greek. His fourth wife gave him two sons. He died around 100, though the circumstances are not known. Josephus has an extremely troubled posterity. He is, of course, obviously a valuable source, a true survivor of the siege and revolt, and an accomplished historian who lived to tell his tales. However, the very things that make him so knowledgeable and eyewitness are the things that make him problematical in terms of bias, in addition to the fact that, like most writers of chronicles, from a first-hand perspective, he waited until his old age, decades later, to write some of his work. Regardless of his motivations, there is reason to describe him as a traitor to his own people. Josephus's lack of apparent guilt over switching allegiances to the Romans and his harshness towards his perceived enemies do not make him more sympathetic. He was shunned in Jewish culture prior to the 19th century as someone not to be studied, and his works were not translated into Hebrew. Even non-Jewish historians speak of him very harshly. The most troubling act is not his attempts to act as a bridge between Judaism and Hellenism. There were others like him in this regard, not least early church fathers like St. Paul. It is his betrayal of his own troops, including the mass suicide that he induced and then failed to participate in, that historians find difficult to reconcile. The fact that he was dismissive about Jesus, despite being one of the few non-biblical sources near contemporary to Jesus, has not endeared him to Christians either, although his works became extremely popular in Europe after they were translated into English in 1732. Josephus made several references to Jesus and his family or associates, as well as recording the ministry and death of John the Baptist, though scholarship generally believes now that the more positive references were probably added by later Christian writers. That said, Josephus himself was not hostile toward his own people in his writings. In fact, what he wrote was intended to defend Judaism from pagan critics, and he blamed the revolt on harsh Roman governors who were too corrupt to be trusted, as well as extreme fanaticism on the part of Jewish religious leaders who ignored the traditional aristocracy, of which he was a part, in leading the people to destruction. Even so, Josephus did not entirely turn his back on his Jewish heritage, and spent much of his writing defending the Jews from anti-Semitic pagan charges. The hostile sources to which Josephus is referring can be embodied in the other main source for the revolt, Roman writer Tacitus. Publius Cornelius Tacitus, circa CE 56, after 117, was from an equestrian family and wrote in Latin. He was not from Rome, being born in either northern Italy or perhaps southeastern France, since his wife was the daughter of a senator from that region. Most of his personal life has been gleaned from his writings and the letters of his friend Pliny the Younger. He studied in Rome, going through the traditional cursus honorum of a Roman nobleman. He gained fame as an orator. His experiences under Vespasian's son, Domitian, left him with a dislike for tyranny, which appears in his writings. It may also have left him with a bias against the Flavians, though he began his career and experienced early success